Would you turn with me to the sixth chapter of Ephesians, the Epistle to Ephesians, chapter 6. Just a few scriptures. We're going to begin reading at the 10th verse, just to give a little context. It says, Paul's letter to this church, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And I want to stop the reading right there. The subject or title of this message is "Having Done All, to Stand." Having done all to stand. As I look at the modern church world today and the situation that we see around us, the wall that Nehemiah describes that was broken down kind of is emblematic of the church. It's a wonderful illustration to me of the modern day church. The wall was broken down. And in Nehemiah, we don't have to turn to it, it says the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, "And it came to pass in the month Chislu in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of the brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there is in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." Another passage in the Old Testament that comes to me when I think of the church situation, when Elijah came against the prophets of Baal and challenged them on Mount Carmel. Because the church, the people of God, many had backslidden. And they, in this challenge to test by fire, after the prophets of Baal were unsuccessful in trying to get their God to answer, the first thing Elijah did was to repair the altar of the Lord that was broken down from neglect, from destruction, from whatever the situation may be. And I think that is somewhat emblematic of what we see around us today in the church world. And Satan has delivered to me, as I think about this, several almost knockout blows to the church. First, he's convinced the church, in order to reach the world, it had to become like the world. A large part of the church is given to carnality. This is the contemporary church movement that we see around us. I was looking at some statistics. The church attendance is declining rapidly. It said 4,500 churches have, in 2019, 4,500 Protestant churches closed down. Now, there were 3,000 that came up in that year, but 4,500 closed down. This is the first time, and since they've been taking these statistics, that they've seen a decline in church growth. And that's what is facing us today, what we see around us. The modern church is filled with preaching and practices that, instead of rejecting worldliness, it's embracing it. We see it in the dress and the music. We see it in the message. If you've tuned in, whether it's on YouTube or podcasts or whatever you listen to or watch on television, pay attention, you'll notice. Next thing Satan has done, he's convinced the church that it's acceptable to give God part, but not all. Much of the church has become lukewarm. Those that haven't gone contemporary or in their ways have become lukewarm in their worship. We give part of our time, our talent, our treasures. We do our little part on Sunday morning and feel like we're paid up until next Sunday. Few people get excited about going to the house of the Lord. The psalmist says, let us run to the house of the Lord early. Few people have a fire welling up inside of them to do the work and will of God. Few people put the things of God before their own things, the priorities. We tailor our salvation, our religion, to what fits our lifestyle. And the words we read that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, having done all to stand. The third thing Satan has done to the church is given them so many things to do to occupy our time. If we're not working, if we're not running to ball fields or surfing the internet or TikTok or going to appointments or playing games or chores or TV, Satan has made us so busy with things that mean nothing that we don't have time to think about what's important in life. You know, we use the expression life gets in the way and kind of dismiss it, but it's true. It's all the plan. So busy. So many things to accomplish and see and do. So many attractions and distractions in this life. I'm impressed with in Ecclesiastes, the writer said, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter. For by sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. That's the word of God. He's saying that the reason that it's that way is when we're in the house of mourning, like a funeral, for example. People don't like to go to funerals. We take time to think about what things are important in life. It's like a check and say, wait a minute. I'm not going to live forever. I'm finite. I have a time limit. What am I doing with my life? The enemy doesn't want to give us time to think about that. So many things to think about. Remember, I don't know, it was a cigarette commercial or a beer commercial. Go for the gusto. Go for the gusto, you know, live life to the fullest. And the writer says it's better to go to the house of mourning because then we get serious about our spiritual condition. You know, we were in the adult class this morning talking about the Great Commission at the end of the class. And that is the purpose of why we're here. That's the whole purpose, is to spread the good news of the gospel so others may come to the knowledge of the truth and come and find the relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not to attain and accomplish in this life and to amass wealth and to do all kinds of things. That's not the purpose. And if I'm being real honest with myself, the Great Commission did not guide my life many times. I didn't think about it. I was busy. I was doing things. I was working. I was trying to raise a family. But the Great Commission is what we're supposed to be all about. And finally, I think one of the most devastating things that the enemy has done has watered down the preaching of the necessity of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and walking in the Spirit. Those are not two separate thoughts. Those are not mutually exclusive. You've got to have them both together. That's why the baptism, so you can walk in the Spirit. Where does the power come from? The Holy Spirit. How are we able to overcome? The Holy Spirit. Do we need the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. We don't hear that preached much. Mankind has gotten in the way. Well, you know, if you say the sinner's prayer, you're saved. What does that mean? I find not one instance in the Word of God where the apostles said, let's say the sinner's prayer and you're saved. Not one instance in the Word. Jesus tells us you must be born again. What is the born again experience? It's receiving, it's the infilling of the Holy Spirit in our life when He comes in to take abode. When does that happen? The baptism. The instance where Peter went to that Gentile's home, Cornelius, and he began to evangelize Jesus Christ. And what happened? The Holy Ghost fell on all that house, every one of them. The Lord filled them with the Holy Ghost. Well, how did they know? He didn't ask them to say the sinner's prayer, did he? No, he didn't. Because Peter went back to Jerusalem and was called before the elders of the church and said, what did you do? You went to a Gentile home. Why? What happened? And he told them the story and he says, I knew. When I heard them speak with tongues, they received the same gift as we. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us overcome the flesh and the carnality that's in our lives. Paul writes to Romans, if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. He writes to Galatians, and they that are in Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Almost knockout blows for things the enemy has done to the church that we see around us today. And we have a choice. Are we going to be like the modern day church? And I don't mean on a corporate basis. Each one of us individually have to make that decision. Are we going to be like the modern day church and tailor our salvation to what fits our lifestyle? Are we going to live a life for Christ? Are we going to live a life for Christ that we find in the book of Acts, the New Testament church? Not the Evangelical Full Gospel Assembly or some other name on some other church, but no, the Church of Jesus Christ, the born again, washed in the blood, filled with the Holy Ghost, walking in the Spirit church. What are we going to do? Paul, when he approached a church at Corinth, he wrote unto them, he says, "Brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not in enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit," capital S, Holy Spirit, "and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." The preaching of Jesus Christ and everything that goes with it doesn't appeal to most people because conviction comes with it. Conviction happens because the Holy Spirit is witnessing to the truth. Brother Steve had a message Wednesday night, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." After the service, Brother Bob quoted that famous line from the music, from the movies, Top Gun, was it? No, Few Good Men. "You can't handle the truth." I don't know if you saw the movie, but that's a great line in the movie. And that's the problem today. Itching ears, pastor, tell us something that makes us feel good. Tell us something that caresses the flesh. Tell us something that doesn't make me feel guilty. Tell us something that tells me I'm all right and I'm okay what I'm doing. And the Holy Spirit says, "No, I can't tell you that. My job is to make you holy. My job is to transform you into the image of Christ. My job is to help you, give you the strength to overcome the flesh, the world, the enemy. And I can only do that when you let me have control. I will not force you. I will not browbeat you. But like Elijah heard the voice in the cave, when he came out of the cave, when he'd run away, it was not in the wind and the earthquake and the fire, but it was a still, small voice. The Holy Spirit, the still, small voice. Cornal lives are a dime a dozen. You know, you can step into lukewarm water and you hardly notice it. Same thing with a lukewarm Christian. Oh Lord, help us this morning. You know, the Isaiah writes to the church. He says, "Awake, awake, put on thy strength. O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments. O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall be no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down. O Jerusalem, loose thyself from the bands of thy neck. O captive daughter of Zion." Prophetically speaking to the church, awake, put on strength. The strength of the church is not in the number of people that attend. We want to see more folks attend, absolutely. We want to see the Lord save and fill them with the Holy Ghost. But that's not where the strength is. It's not in seeking the numbers. It's not in how many buildings we have. The strength is in the church, is the steadfastness in the truth and holiness. In Ephesians, Paul writes, he says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. No more children tossed to and fro. Know what you believe. Know what you believe. What do you believe this morning? What's in your heart? What does the Word of God mean to you? Do you believe this scripture? Do you believe this passage? Do you believe what the Word says? These are not suggestions. These are not, well, if you want to follow them, it's good. No, this is the Word. This is the laws of God. Amen. Having done all to stand, how are we going to accomplish reaching out to the world if we're not prayed up, if we're not where God wants us to be? The brother's teaching on the authority of the Christian. And that authority comes, if I could paraphrase and summarize it in just a brief sentence, comes with the nearness and closeness in relationship to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Without that closeness, without that communion, that deep communion with the Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit cause us to examine our spiritual walk. Where are we in relation to our closeness, our relationship with the Lord? Do we feel His presence every day? Do we feel the manifestation of the Spirit? Does His Word speak to us? Do we have a hunger and thirst to be in the house of God? Do we have a hunger to be in the prayer meeting? To be in the Bible class? Do we have a hunger to be together when we have events like last night when we come together? Well, that was a material thing. Yeah, it is. But, you know, there's something about being with the people of God. Having done all to stand. Our strength is in our spiritual freedom. In Galatians, Paul writes, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That not only means the sin which we shed, the sin that was forgiven, those sins that try to come back on us, but it's tradition, it's being bound by, you know, a mediocre lifestyle that doesn't reach out to draw closer to God. Paul talks about, I press for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is he saying? Paul, you're pressing? Look at what you have accomplished. Look at you wrote a third of the New Testament in your epistles. Look at what you've done. You established churches. You explained the gospel. God gave you the anointing and the revelation of the gospel message. I press. I haven't attained yet. I'm not there. I'm not sitting in the pew saying, well, everything's good. I'm baptized with the Holy Ghost. I love the Lord. I'm pressing. Paul, at your situation in life, you've been in prison, you've been beaten, you've been stoned, you've been run out of town. I press. Well, that was for Paul. Really? It's for every one of us. We may not have Paul's calling, but we have the calling of the Holy Spirit to press for the kingdom. Praise God. Our strength, awake church, put on strength. Our strength is putting on the armor of God. I'm not going to go into all the armor. You know the scriptures. But our strength is putting on the armor, having done all to stand. Can any of us say before the Lord this morning, Lord, I've done all. I've exercised all. I've given everything I got. I say for myself, first of all, no, I haven't. But I want to do it. I want to press. I want to give my all. Having done all to stand, because brother and sister, we are in spiritual warfare. If things are going smooth for you right now, don't be lulled asleep. Satan is executing his plan. His traps are set. His distractions are out there waiting for you. He wants to take you away. The thief comes to destroy, steal, and kill. Put on the whole armor and pray, pray, pray. Elijah, the first thing he did on Mount Carmel, when all the noise and the bluster of the Baal prophets stopped, he started to rebuild the altar that was broken down. Is your altar broken down this morning? Does your altar need repair? The altar of your heart, does it need repair? Do you need to draw closer to him? Oh, God's speaking to us this morning. I sense it by the Holy Spirit. This message has been on my heart for several days. Lord, help us. We're living in difficult times. We're living in the last days, brothers and sisters. We say that. I don't want it to be monotonous. I don't want you to think, oh, well, we hear that again. Yeah, we are. Look around. Every day there's new revelations. Every day something's happening. And God is saying, oh, church, awake, put on strength. I have a work for you to do in these last days. I have a message to get out. The number is not complete, and you've got to be my witnesses. It's like the house is burning all around us. And we're just kind of skipping through the house. Okay, all right. Help us, Lord, to recognize. Help us, Lord, having done all to stand. You know, that means something different for every one of us. Having done all to stand, what do you need to do? What do you need to do? What's the Holy Spirit telling you? What is the Holy Spirit witnessing to you? Have you done all to stand? I think that, you know, when I hear those, read those scriptures in one of the epistles, it's so that we won't be ashamed at his coming. Why did he write that? Filling up words on a page. No, why did he write that? Don't be ashamed at his coming. I don't want to be ashamed at his coming. I don't want to say, Lord, I could have done a little more. I could have attended some services more. I kind of took it the easy way out. I didn't attend Bible class because it was early and I'm tired and I want to take a rest and I don't think I need it. I know the scriptures. I didn't come to prayer meeting because I can pray at home. I didn't come and worship. I didn't come prepared to the services sometimes. It was time to go to church, so I went to church. I didn't go there with a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. Those words, don't be ashamed at his coming. This is reality, brothers and sisters. Oh, brother, this is so hard. Brother, I don't want to hear this message. I don't want to deliver it. But I want you to be saved and ready to go when the Lord comes. I want to see God take us all to glory. That's the whole point. Not to put anyone down, not to get on your case. No, it's God's telling us, church, get ready, awake, put on strength, loose the bands from your neck, the bondage that you're in. He's like the Jews said Wednesday night, Brother Red, well, we're not in bondage to anyone. But they were. Lord, help us take the whole armor, put it on. I'm going to close right here. Brother, sister, would you come forward? You know, I'd love to deliver a message that says we're all good. Everything's okay. Just keep doing what you're doing. Don't you love it? You go to the doctor's office and you've maybe had some problems and doctor gives you a good bill of health. He says, just keep doing what you're doing. You're doing good. This is not one of those times, okay? The Holy Spirit's saying to us, he says, I want you to look at yourself. I want you to look internally. I want you to pull the curtain away of pride and the facade, and I want you to look earnestly into the mirror of the Holy Spirit and say you're doing okay. If you can do that, can you do that? I don't want to hurt you. I want to give you life. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of a good end. That's what God's saying. Look around, be aware of what's going on. Why is church attendance going down so much? Why are more and more people saying they're not Christian anymore? Why is that? Because the church has stopped being what the church ought to be. Amen. We got to attract the numbers. We got to get them to come back next Sunday. We don't want to turn anyone off. We got to make it palatable to come to church. And we got to have smoke and mirrors and whatever. I heard a preacher say one time what he sees in the church pulpits today are technicians. The how-to. And if you do this and do that and God's this and God's that and how to handle it. No. Tell them, let the Holy Spirit show you what to do. Get full of the Holy Ghost. And let the Holy Ghost begin to minister to you. Let the Holy Ghost begin to lead your life. Let the Holy Ghost give you intuitions and understanding and revelations and discernment. Let the Holy Ghost, it's not the rule book, no. It's the Holy Spirit that witnesses within our heart. The truth teller. The one who points us to Christ. Get full of the Holy Ghost. Do you think God ever starts a church in the fullness, in the true understanding of the word, for it to fail? Think God says, oh no, your time is only, so many years, and you're going to fade out. Do you think God has a plan like that? I don't think so. I think when God plants a church with full of the Holy Ghost, it's up to the people of God to stay in that position, to surrender and yield to the Lord and ask the Lord to continue to lead and guide them. How do many churches fall away? Many of the churches back in the 60s and 70s and even before that we were in fellowship with years ago, no longer exist. I'm not lifting us up. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, oh, look at us. We're so great. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, why? How did they fail? What happened? Why are they no longer there? Was it God's fault? And I say, Lord, help us. We're subject and frail. We get tempted the same way. We're not here special. We're special because God called us special, but we're just ordinary people that God saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. And if we stay true to the word, he'll stay true to us. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. We want to see the church grow. Not just for the sake of numbers, that's not it. But we want to see the church grow that others may come to the knowledge of the truth. Surrender their lives to Christ. Find the blessings. Find the treasure in Christ Jesus. Find that relationship that brings joy and peace, comfort and satisfaction. It's not I go to that church and there are a bunch of nice people there and they're so kind and they treat me swell and, everybody loves everybody and that's all good. But it's more than the social. It's something that attracts us because we're part of the family, the body of Christ. That same anointing flows through us all. Praise God. And the Holy Spirit says, I want you to grow and become the spiritual edifice God wants you to be. Have we reached where God wants us to be? We know we haven't. We've held ourselves back. Not wanting to, but just in our decision, just in the way we behaved, in the way we have worshiped or not worshiped or whatever. Lord, we the leadership, give us wisdom and understanding. Give us humble hearts that we hear from heaven, that we do that what you called us to do. We need your prayers. It's a daunting thing to stand before the congregation and deliver a message. It's a daunting thing. And I say, Lord, Paul wrote, be worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. That goes for every one of us here. You're called this morning. You are called. You're not here by accident. You're called. And the part of the responsibility that goes with it is walk worthy of the vocation. And having done all, to stand. An evil day. Help us to give our all. May the name of the Lord be praised.